Great privilege to be here on a special day like today when you've set aside a Sunday morning to honor your pastor and his wife and their good family. I know that if you attend here regularly, you know how blessed you are to have folks like them serving at their post of duty, trying to be faithful to what God has called them to do here among you. And if you don't know how blessed you are, just come follow Sister Tig and I around for a little while. And I can take you to churches in these United States of America where there's people gathered this morning praying that God would send them a man that would preach a gospel to them. A man that would stand for them and love them and tell them what it's going to take to get to heaven. And you're blessed with that kind of person, that kind of man. And you ought to be thankful. And it's good to appreciate the pastor. Can you say amen? And it's a great privilege for me to be allowed to be a part of this. And I don't take this lightly. I've got a scripture I'd like to read to you. It's not where I'm going to preach from. But the Bible said in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 17 and following, "Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in word and doctrine. For the scripture saith, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn, and the laborer is worthy of his reward." This word elder is used here in the New Testament doesn't necessarily mean a certain age group. It doesn't necessarily mean that you got gray hair on top of your head. But this word elder means a position that's held in the body of Christ in a local assembly. And Brother Jim Yeoman is filling that position here in this local church, not only as pastor, but he's an elder that's ruling well. Can you say amen? Now, the Bible said he is counted worthy of double honor. Praise God. And I appreciate them and appreciate their family. Sister Tig and I has not known them all that long. We've been coming here and preaching for them for several years now, and we've just always enjoyed their friendship, their fellowship, and I just appreciate what they're doing here. How many years is it y'all have been here? Anybody know? 8 years. Been serving here for 8 years. And I can tell, it looks to me like the congregation has grown since I was here last year. I see faces that I didn't see when I was here last year, and I appreciate Brother Yeoman. I have seen him around about, you know, he's come to some of the meetings that I've preached in this general area, and I've heard him testify, and believe he's in revival. I believe him and his family is having revival. And I know that those of you that go to church with him all the time can see that he's stirred up, and looks like God's put the poker in the fire and stirred the fire up, and he's been busy working and laboring in Dublin, different places, visiting the lost, trying to get somebody saved, and just got radical, just got bold for Christ. And I appreciate that, don't you? I appreciate that. I'm so thankful to be a part of what today holds. And I just want to try to get in, obey the Lord, and just preach to you something I felt like God laid on my heart. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, if you have your Bibles, would you turn there with me? 2 Corinthians, the 11th chapter. A lot of times as people that sit on the pew, and today's the preacher's day, so I'll probably say some things. I hope you don't get sideways with me. We don't brag the preacher up too much, but I get the privilege of doing that here today. And maybe you won't fall out with me before this is over with. A lot of times, if you're not called to this, and it is definitely a calling from God, you can't just stand up and say, "I'm going to preach," and be effective. You've got to be called and sent by the Holy Ghost. And unless that calling has been placed upon your life and you've walked that path, a lot of times it's hard to identify with some of the pressures and the stresses. And I know, you know, the old stories about the preachers, You know, everybody knows we like fried chicken, don't like to work much, like a whole lot of something for very little or nothing. Come on now. That's what they say about preachers, ain't it? And those of you that have ever had a television, here in America, Hollywood has worked overtime for many, many years. If you've ever remember seeing a preacher in a movie or some television program, he was always a crook or a buffoon, one or the other. And a lot of times that's what the American society has in mind of a preacher. And we've had crooks and we've had failures have claimed to be preachers. But isn't it amazing? If you call a plumber to your house to come fix your clogged up pipes, and he makes a mistake and don't get everything just right and leaves and the job ain't to suit you, you don't just go around town putting every plumber down, do you? But you let a preacher make a mistake, and we'll throw them all in the same lump and talk about them sorry preachers, them no-account preachers. Smile at me or something right here this morning. But today's the day we're going to honor this high calling. I'll never forget what an old, wrinkled-up Church of God preacher told me when I first announced that God had called me to preach. I felt like God had called me to preach, and I ran from it for a little while. I was scared to death because I felt very sober about what God was dealing with me about. But this old Church of God preacher helped me. He said something that's always stuck with me. He said, if God has called you to preach, Brother Teague, then never stoop to be a king. Did you understand that? Preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ is one of the highest callings that comes from heaven. Now, we're all, as the Sunday school lesson taught us this morning, as Christians, we're all to be eyewitnesses or witnesses of Him. But there's something special about the preacher, the man of God. He has been given the oversight of the flock of God. And along with that oversight comes great responsibility and great pressure and great stress that sometimes the congregation is not even aware of. And if God had helped me, I'd like to talk to us along those lines about some of that here this morning. We're going to try our best to honor Brother and Sister Yeoman. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, let's look beginning at verse 23. Let's back up to verse 22. 2 Corinthians, the 11th chapter, we'll begin reading with verse 22. This is the Apostle Paul writing his second letter to the church at Corinth. He asked this question, are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors, more abundant. In stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. Of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods, once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck, a night and a day I've been in the deep. In journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Who is weak and I am not weak? Who is offended and I burn not? If I must needs glory, I will glory of the things which concern mine infirmities. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is blessed forevermore, knoweth that I lie not. Amen. Praise God. Would you lift your hands and pray? Ask the good Holy Ghost to help us here in this service this morning. Father, we love you. We thank you for mercy. We thank you for your grace and compassion. Walk among us and help us here this morning, God. Be a blessing to this congregation. Set a guard at our lips that we'll only speak those things that edify the body of Christ, those things that minister grace to the hearer. Give us ears to hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches this morning, Lord. Encourage the discouraged, strengthen the weak, save the lost, and we'll give you the glory and the honor for what's accomplished. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. The church said amen. I really wanted to call your attention again to verse 28. He said, beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Those of you that have read the New Testament, you'll realize this is the second letter that the Apostle Paul wrote to the church at Corinth, the book of 2 Corinthians. And he wrote to them the first time to straighten them out on some doctrinal issues, and there were some terrible sins that was taking place among the fellowship there in the church at Corinth. And the second letter that he writes to them, he writes to them not only to exhort them or to instruct them, but to encourage them for obeying and following what he had wrote in his first letter. And by the time we get to the 11th chapter, Paul begins to, it seems as if he begins to boast in the calling that God has placed upon his life. Now, if we could take this in its context, those of you that have studied this will remember that in this particular time, there was an uprising of false brethren all across that world that Paul had planted New Testament churches in. And because of that uprising of false brethren, they was beginning to preach false doctrine, beginning to propagate things that was untrue. And some had even begun to question the apostolic authority of the Apostle Paul. They was preaching things or saying things like, who is Paul anyway? Why do we have to adhere to the teachings that the Apostle Paul left behind anyway? And so in chapter 11 of the book of 2 Corinthians, it looks like Paul is beginning to boast in his apostolic calling. But as in just about every church, I guess it's safe for me to say that here, as in most every church, there was some, even at Corinth, who criticized Paul and they regularly questioned his authority. Amen. Paul needed them to understand that he was representing Christ as an official apostle. And he needed them to understand that so that they would respect his authority and they would obey his teaching. It was not that he was concerned about himself. He was concerned about their never dying soul. He knew that if they were to ever become or be what Christ had intended for them to be, they had to obey that doctrine that he had been sent by God to preach among them. And this put Paul in an awkward position. It put him in a place where he had to say things that evidently he was uncomfortable with saying to prove that he was an apostle. As a matter of fact, in the text that I read to you, Paul is comparing himself to other apostles of Jesus Christ and even others who have said they were apostles. And he began to remind the church at Corinth how that he had endured just as much as any of the other apostles. And in some cases, he had probably endured more for the gospel's sake than any of the other apostles. Amen. And he used his suffering and his willingness to sacrifice as a point of proof to that church at Corinth. As a matter of fact, he gives them a list of some of the hardships that he had endured. Listen to what he said. He reminded them, I've been whipped 5 times. I've been beaten with rods 3 times. I've been stoned. I've been shipwrecked 3 times. I spent a night and a day drifting in the ocean, not knowing where I was or if I would ever be rescued. He said, I've been in stripes above measure. I've been in prison more frequently and deaths oft. He talked about all the perils that he had suffered through. Perils of waters and robbers and his own countrymen. Perils by the heathen. Perils in the city and in the wilderness. Perils in the sea. Perils among false brethren. He reminded them, I've been in weariness and painfulness. I've been in watchings. I've been in hunger and thirst and fastings. And I know what it's like to suffer cold and nakedness for the gospel's sake. Amen. Now, you remember that he said, I speak as a fool. I'm speaking as a fool. That meant that he was not bragging. He was not necessarily boasting or putting himself above anybody else. He was merely testifying to prove that Christ had called him to be an apostle. He needed the people of Corinth to understand he was the man of God sent by God for them. Can you say amen? Can I tell you, we will never be what Christ intends for us to be as a church, as a local body, as a local assembly, until we come to that place where we can look at the man in the pulpit, the man that God has called to the leadership position for the local body, and know within our heart that is God's man for me. That is God's man for this church. That is God's man for this time in God's economy. Can you say amen? Now, I have preached in places where it seemed like the pastor's in conflict with the congregation. The congregation is in conflict with the pastor. And it seemed like to me there was a little bit of that beginning to take place at the church at Corinth. But Paul called heaven to record. And he pointed his finger, amen, at his resume, if I can put it like that. And he said, look, church, everything I've been willing to suffer to preach the gospel to you, everything that I've been willing to go through, amen, to try and get you in a right relationship with God. And again, he said, I'm speaking as a fool. That lets me know that he would have rather never mentioned it. Amen. He didn't glory in calling them to task about what he had suffered and what he had given up for the gospel's sake. He was not glorying or bragging about that. It was necessary for him to say those things to shake some of the membership at Corinth into realizing who he was and who had sent him. Can you say amen? He suffered terrible things in order to get the gospel to his world physically. Just read through the book of Acts about his hardships as he evangelized, as he pastored church after church, did missionary work, and taught his world the doctrine of Christ. I know that there's a lot of people who have never had to feel this office. And man, it's going to feel good for me bragging on preachers here this morning. Say, y'all just buckle up and hang on. That brother talked about preaching for 30 minutes. You ain't going to get out in 30 minutes this morning. So let's just hang on right here a while. Is that all right? Amen. Let me brag on preachers here for just a minute. I know that we've got our share of hirelings. And I know that some of these fellas swap churches, and they're always looking for a bigger parsonage to live in, or they're always looking for a bigger congregation to pastor. But I really don't feel like that's the kind of feller that y'all have pastoring you right here in this church. Amen. I feel like he wouldn't have been here as long as he's been here. He wouldn't have went through midweek services with just a handful for as long as he has. He wouldn't be going out into the community and sharing the gospel and trying to get folks saved if he did not feel like he was called to this post of duty. Can you say amen? And along with that calling comes tremendous opposition. A lot of times it's not opposition that you and I can see. A lot of times it's spiritual vexation. It's spiritual opposition. You better understand, if there's a man of God in the will of God that's living for God, That's not an easy place to be. Can you shout amen, church? Amen. All of hell is doing everything it can, amen, to hinder the work of the gospel and to hinder or mar the testimony of that leader at the house of God. If that devil can get Brother Jim Yeoman to compromise or to backslide or to quit God, then he can affect every life that he's been trying to pastor for these 8 years. And so you better understand that there's tremendous opposition that comes against that person who is in the will of God. Hallelujah. And Paul was bearing record, or calling Corinth to bear record of all of those things that he had become willing to suffer. Man, he suffered tremendously. Read through the book of Acts, in Acts the 14th chapter. He's in Iconium, where he barely escaped stoning after he incited a riot by preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, he was the kind of man, everywhere he went, there was revival or riot. One or the other. There was no middle ground with the Apostle Paul. There wasn't any shades or areas of gray. It was black and white with the Apostle Paul. Either you was in Christ or out of Christ. Amen. You was a part of the body or you was not a part of the body. One way or the other. And so when he got to Iconium and was preaching Christ to the Jews, he barely escaped being stoned. In Acts 14 and 19, after being in Lycaonia for a short time, the Jews came from Iconium and from Antioch, and they stirred the people to stone Paul. Now them folks he made mad over at Iconium, amen, they heard that he's having revival at Lycaonia. Folks he had made mad at Antioch, they heard he's at Lycaonia trying to plant another church. And so they left their cities and came to where he was. And they began to stir up the people at Lycaonia. Amen. And they stoned the apostle before he could make his escape. This time the stoning was so severe that they thought they had killed him. As a matter of fact, I feel like they left him for dead at the rock pile. One man said they might have very well killed him. I don't know. But I do know they left him there at that rock pile. But God, through His grace and God, through His mercy, raised him up. And he would leave Lycaonia to go on and preach the gospel in another place. Both in Acts 16 and Acts 20, Paul is beaten with rods, stripped of his clothes, shamed, humiliated in front of God and man, and cast into prison for preaching the gospel. And on it goes. The story of the apostles' hardships. But hear him as he continues to travel and travail, as he continues to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. He would write to the church in Philippi and Philippians 3 and say, "But what things were gained to me, those I counted lost for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ." Do you understand what was driving him? This was not a profession that Paul had chose. This was a heavenly calling that he must fulfill. He felt pressed in his spirit. I've got to do this. I've got to obey God. My soul is at stake. I've heard from heaven, and I've got to follow God's voice. He said, "Besides all of that, I'm willing to count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord." He said, "I want to win Christ." Can you say amen? This is the heart of a man of God who says, "It does not matter what it costs me. I will be willing to pay any price I have to pay if I can obey God and win Christ." Amen. Paul, he says that he lost all things. He didn't struggle to collect things. flames. His passion, amen, is the souls of men. Amen. Listen, it wasn't Paul's passion to collect up a bunch of things. I say it like this. If God's called a man to preach, he ought to get out of the used car business, get out of the insurance business, and preach the gospel. Come on, say amen. Anything that's shady or could be considered shady, that man of God ought to leave it alone. I feel like that's the kind of feller y'all have pastoring you here. Amen. He's not concerned in collecting things, anything but the souls of men. He's concerned himself with reaching to the lost and winning them to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. I could take you to church after church where there is absolutely zero concern, or it appears to me now. I'll just put myself in the seat of judge. It has appeared to me many, many places that I've been to preach the gospel that there's very little concern about the souls of men that emanates or radiates from that pulpit. If that preacher's unconcerned about the lost, 9 times out of 10, if I can say it like that, that congregation's going to be unconcerned about the lost. And there's too many of our holiness churches that are just struggling to hold the fort, just hold what they got, us four and no more. Come on now. Hey, but you're blessed with a man here that has a vision. The Bible said, where there is no vision, the people perish. He's got a vision to preach a gospel to the lost, to cast out the net. Come on now. How many knows when you go to the sea and you cast out the net, you're liable to pull up anything? All different kinds of things you're going to pull up in that net. But if we can get them in the boat, amen, then God can separate the good from the bad. Amen. He can get established what will allow Him to establish them. You've got a man here that's got the net in his hand, that's casting out the net, that's busying himself. I heard him testify, and I'll just brag on him a little bit here. I heard him testify just in the last couple of months, amen, about taking his lunch break and going to the parts of the town in Dublin and knocking on doors and inviting folks to church. And if I understood him right, now this brag on him here, the police has even told him, you can't do that, but he just keeps on doing it. You know why? There's a drive inside of him to see lost men found, to see sinners saved. Come on now. I'm telling you, that ought to be the passion that drives a New Testament church. We ought to be evangelistic. We ought to be missionary minded. It ought to be our duty. It ought to be our privilege to preach a gospel to the lost. Y'all have that kind of fellow here. That's the kind of man that the Apostle Paul was. And he suffered on account of it. A real man of God always puts the kingdom of God first. Can you say amen? All of these things the Apostle Paul went through, all of these stonings and shipwrecks and beatings, it's hard for me to imagine, brother, going through one of these things. I've never been whipped for preaching the gospel. I've been laughed at, been mocked, been made fun of. Boy, it's a light thing when I put my testimony up beside the Apostle Paul's. I can't imagine being stoned or shipwrecked. Amen. Snake bit. Come on now. Hey, locked in prison for preaching the gospel. He experienced all of these things. That's what makes his very next statement while he's qualifying himself as an apostle to the church at Corinth. After he lists all of these external hardships that he's went through, he says something that's so incredible to me. Let's read verse 28 and 29 again. The Bible said, beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Who is weak and I'm not weak? Who is offended and I burn not? Amen. The first few words of verse 28, he said, beside those things which are without, or that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the church, besides all this, all of these whippings, all of this stoning,
all of this, my name being cast out as evil for His name's sake. Besides all, in addition to all of these hardships that I've just named to you, there's one more that burdens me just as much or more than any of the physical calamity that's ever come upon me. What in the world could be more hard than being stoned or beat or whipped or shipwrecked? The one thing that is as hard on Paul as all of these other things is the daily burden that he carries for the church. Amen. How are they getting along? How are they doing? How's their prayer life? Are they continuing to walk with Christ? The daily pressure of wondering how the folks that he's won to Christ, how the folks that he's discipled for Christ, how they're getting along spiritually. Paul is saying that his physical hardship is no more difficult than his constant concern for the people in the churches that he started. Again, his passion is for others. His passion is for the souls of men. Come on, help me right here, somebody. In verse 29, he said, "Who is weak and I'm not weak? Who is offended and I burn not?" Paul is so concerned, amen, about others that he bears their burdens as if they were his own. Do you understand that? I'm not so sure that we, as regular church folks, can really understand it. Now, if you're a parent, if you're a mama and a daddy, you can get a taste of what it's like to be a pastor or a leader of a church. He said, "Who is weak and I'm not weak? What affects them affects me. Who is offended and I burn not? What they go through, I go through right along with them." Amen. As a matter of fact, Paul carries the burden of all the sorrows, all the failures, all the joy, all the pain of each person in those churches. And listen to what he said in 2 Corinthians 11 and 2. I didn't include it in the text, but listen to what he said. "For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ." He puts himself not only as pastor, apostle, teacher, but he puts himself in the role as their spiritual father. Just like a mama or a daddy to his own children. "I'm jealous over you with a godly jealousy." He said, "I want to present you as a chaste virgin unto Christ." It's my responsibility to preach the character defects out of you. It's my responsibility to preach the sin and teach the sin out of your life. It's my responsibility to teach you and lead you in the sound doctrine that you can lead and live a life that pleases Christ. That when He comes, I, as your spiritual father, I, as the head of this church, can present you to Him in snow white garments that don't have a spot or a wrinkle or a blemish or any such thing. That I can present you as a chaste virgin unto Christ. Boy, that's a lot of pressure. Come on now. That's a lot of pressure on the man that's here Sunday after Sunday. Amen. Midweek after midweek. Revival after revival. Amen. Wedding after wedding. Birth after birth. Funeral after funeral. That's a lot of pressure on that man. Paul was an apostle first. Amen. And he was a pastor. And as a pastor, he considered the daily concern for the people in his congregations to be as difficult as the beating, as the stoning, amen, or anything else that he had went through externally. This is true for all God-called pastors. Somebody, lots of people have talked to me through the years. Sister Tig and I occupied the role of pastor for about 2.5 years, and that really ain't even long enough to say we pastored. I tell folks we pestered more than we pastored, probably. And I just went to that place where I was
called the pastor and just occupied that pulpit, and I did the work of an evangelist probably more than anything else. And I just tried to win the lost in the community, and God helped us there. And I hope my time walking in the shoes of a pastor, and I'm not so sure 2.5 years, that didn't even get me any kind of degree. Hallelujah. But I'm not so sure that's long enough to qualify me even say I've pastored. But I hope my time there made me a better evangelist. And I sure know my time there and some of the struggles, some of the problems, some of the things we had to deal with and work through, some of the intimacy, if I can say it that way, that we had with people's lives in the congregation, helping them, trying to lead them, give them spiritual counsel through the struggles and the problems that they faced from young people to old people. I hope that gave me a better understanding of what these men go through. And I've noticed a lot of times as an evangelist, especially one that does missionary work, it's real easy for folks to lift up the evangelist or lift up the missionary. And I know of a certain missionary evangelist that goes to a church. I'll just go ahead and tell you. Goes to a church in North Carolina every year, and they support him and they support his work. And it doesn't mean anything negative about him. But I'm going to say something about that church. That church gives their pastor about $200 a week. And when this particular missionary evangelist comes through, they'll give him anywhere between $5,000 to $10,000 for one week of preaching. Come on now. Hey, I believe they got that twisted around backwards. Come on now. I'm just going to preach to you for a week if you'll come listen to me. You know what I'm going to do at the end of this week? I'm going to pack my Grand Cherokee and I'm going to go to parts unknown. I'm going to leave you with it. I ain't going to preach your funeral. I ain't going to marry your children. I ain't going to be here to come visit you when you get sick and go to the hospital. But there's a man sitting among us that'll be right by your side through all of them things. Come on, say amen. Amen. He's the one worthy of double honor. Can you say amen? It ought to be more than just one day a year. But today's their day. Hallelujah. Huh? Amen. A lot of times it's easy to look at a traveling man and put some kind of glamorous notion on the ministry they have or the life that they lead. But I'll tell you where the real work a lot of times is going on, and I don't want you to misunderstand me. We're all called to occupy a particular post of duty. My time as pastoring that little church I was at helped me in lots of different ways. One thing it did for me before I ever pastored there was lots of times I'd hook to my truck and trailer and pulling out of the driveway. I'd look over at Sister Lisa and I'd say something like this, "Boy, if I was a pastor here, I'd tell you what I'd do." Since I pastored, she hadn't heard me say that not one time. You never know what you'd do. And there may be even somebody here this morning who's thought this week or this year or this decade, "Boy, if I was a pastor here, I tell you what I'd do." But guess what? We ain't honoring you this morning because you ain't the pastor. Brother Jim Yeoman is the pastor. He's the man God's put here. Come on, say amen. You don't know what you'd do unless you've walked in them shoes. Come on, say amen. Oh, God, I wish the Lord had helped me right here. I'd like to preach to us here this morning. I appreciate these men of God who'll be here Sunday after Sunday and preach to the same faces Wednesday after Wednesday and teach the same ones. Amen. That'll stay here and watch the little children grow into adolescence and go on into adulthood. I appreciate these men of God and their wives and their children. Amen. Who become so connected with the lives of their congregation that they become almost as close as blood family.
family. And I know y'all got a lot of blood kin here, and Brother Yeoman for the past 8 years has tried to pastor y'all, but there's some of you here that's not blood kin. And I guarantee you this pastor and his family has become just as connected to some of these that are not blood as they are to some of you that are. Come on, say amen. It's because of a passion and a desire and the high calling of God to occupy this post of duty. Amen. It's obvious that this pastor loves you. It's obvious that he's concerned about you. If he wasn't, he'd have did like I done. I left after 2 years and 6 months. He's been here for 8 long years. Come on, say amen. It's not because he didn't have anywhere else to go. It's not because he couldn't have did his missionary work or evangelized on the field. It's not because he's not been offered any other churches. Can I say it that way? But it's because he feels certain in his heart, this is where God has him for such a time as this. Can you say amen? He's concerned about you. He prays for you. And he constantly thinks about you. I'm going to say something here that I can't say everywhere I preach. This is 3 or 4 times maybe that I've preached for Brother Jim. It probably ain't been 5 or 6 yet. Probably 3 or 4 times that I've preached. Less times got away with me. And he's never set me down in his office or his living room or riding down the road in a pickup. He's never set me down and told me anything negative, nothing negative about the folks in his congregation. Well, some of y'all be shouting and talking in tongues right there. Come on here. I guarantee you, everywhere I go ain't like that. Come on here. There's some places, some fellas I preach for, I leave scratching my head wondering what he's even still doing there. It's obvious. There's a great controversy. The burden's gone. Come on, say amen. They probably just staying for a paycheck. Come on, help me right here. But I hadn't picked up on that. I hadn't felt that none at all. With Brother Yeoman or his family, I believe they're here because this is where God's put them. I believe he's got a heart to be here. Can you say amen to me? Amen. Listen, he walks with you in ways that some of you don't even begin to understand. The things that bother you bother him. His emotions for you are like yours for your immediate family. If you go to the hospital, his heart's in the hospital with you. If you go to a funeral, his heart goes through that with you. You have become his immediate family. And I'll preach something else to you here. Amen. His emotions and his care rises and falls with everything that you as a congregation that he oversees. Everything you go through, he experiences those things with you on a daily basis just because of the calling that's been placed in his life and the position that he holds. And at times, this pressure, this stress can be overwhelming. Most of us face one major event in life at a time. Most of the time, we have one funeral in the family. At a time, most of the time, about one a year. It's very unusual to have 2 or 3 funerals in the same family in 1 year. But think about the pastor. Sometimes he has 2 or 3. Most of the time we have one visit to the hospital every few years. Sometimes the pastor has week after week, month after month. Come on here. And while we're working our job and are more concerned about providing for our family, and that's not a bad thing. He's a fancy word, bivocational pastor. He's working a job and pastoring a church. And not only does he have the pressure of providing and working in the workplace, in the public, providing for his family, but he's got the added pressure of all of your problems and all of your struggles and all of your shortcomings and all the things that God speaks to his heart to speak to you. Now I guarantee you there are Sundays when he climbs into this pulpit and has to say things that God has laid on his heart that he would much rather avoid. having to say. Come on, say amen. But he says them anyway. You know why? Amen. He's been called of God and he has a burden and a love for you and your family, and it's his goal for you to go to God's good heaven. Come on, say amen. Huh? Amen. Our pastor experiences the pressure of all of these struggles nearly every day, nearly every week. He's concerned for the marriages in trouble. He desperately wants to relieve our financial struggle. He grieves with us over our rebellious teenagers. Come on now. He goes through all of these. Your pain and your joy becomes his because he cares for your soul. He can't help but to make your struggles a part of his life. I got this wrote down in my notes. But I believe I can say of an assurity, he has. Some places I'd say he has, he will, or he should. Come on now. But I believe he has fasted for you when you hadn't even fasted for yourself. He's been up at night praying for you when it should have been you up praying for him. He's done without time in his own family just to spend time with you and your family in your time of need. He's comforted you when he himself or his family needed comforting. He's prayed for your healing. He's anointed, he smeared oil on your head and prayed for God to heal you when he was sick in his own body and needed somebody to anoint him and pray for him. You know why? He's God's man. He's God's man. Come on, say amen. All of these burdens, all of these struggles become secondary and less important to him than your burdens and your struggles. That's what a man of God is. That's what a pastor. That's a pastor. And I feel like that's what you all have here. But some of you is looking kind of like you're feeling sorry for him or something. Don't get to feeling sorry for him. I believe I could say this. I don't feel like he'd rather be anywhere else doing anything else with anybody else. Amen. If he's in God's will, he knows he's in the will of God, then he'd rather be right here suffering it out and struggling through with you than anywhere else. Come on, say amen. Huh? That's right. That's the way God's man is. You don't have to feel sorry for him. This is what he's been called to do. And though he experiences these pressures and these struggles that you may not have even been aware of, God gives him special grace. God is yoked together with him and helps him bear or be able to stand up under these burdens and these struggles. Come on, say amen. Amen. While the burden is heavy, amen, your pastor wouldn't have it any other way. I remembered when I was trying to prepare and get ready for this morning, I remembered great men. The Apostle Paul had men that traveled along with him. And though at times there was contention and conflict between him and some of them, there was great men that stood with him. Men like Silas. Amen. There's no book of Silas. There's nothing in the Bible that was written about Silas. Hey, but Silas was one half of the Apostle Paul. Men like Barnabas, there was no book of Barnabas, no scripture in our Bible left behind by Barnabas. But what would Paul have been without Barnabas? Come on, say amen. And so I believe that God has people right here in this congregation. Amen. Now, I thought about men like Moses. I remembered reading an account of Joshua and Moses and the children of Israel warring in a battle. And while Joshua and the armies of Israel was down in the valley fighting against the enemy, Moses and some of his ministers was up on the mountain looking down over the battlefield. And somehow Moses figured out, as long as my hands are raised, Joshua and Israel are winning the battle. But Moses was just a man. Can I tell you, your pastor's not a superhero. He don't have an S on his chest. Come on here. He's not superhuman. He's flesh and blood just like all the rest of us. Can you say amen? His hands get heavy just like Moses' hands get heavy. As long as he's fasting and praying and holding his hands up, I believe this congregation will continue to win victory after victory, battle after battle. Come on. Amen. But when his hands get heavy, you know what he needs? He needs an Aaron in this congregation. He needs a her. Somebody that'll slip up behind him. And I feel like that's why you've set this day aside. Pastor, they want to slip up behind you and lift your hands up and let you know we with you. We're going to help you fight the good fight of faith. We're going to catch your vision. We're going to push into the darkness and win the lost to the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. If you feel that way, would you lift your hands and give the Lord a praise here? Praise God. Praise God. I believe there's people here, Brother Yeoman. When your hands get heavy and tired, there's people here that's going to help you. And I believe there's people right here who could stand up and testify and say this morning, when you take a stand, we're going to take a stand with you. We ain't going to question your authority. You know, a lot of people have got this thing mixed up and confused. Huh? The pastor is the authority of the local church. It's not a board. It's not a pastor's council. It's not a group of deacons. Deacons in the New Testament waited tables and served with us. They didn't run the business and the affairs of the church. And if we ain't doing it like the book of Acts, then we ain't doing it right. Come on, smile at me right here. Now, I know that there's safety in the multitude of counselors. The Bible teaches us that. But we should always be a helpmeet to the pastor. And his vision ought to become our vision. We should never twist that around and try to make our vision, try to make him catch our vision or what we want for the church. God puts a man here to give the church divine direction. He is God's mouthpiece for us. And I wrote down some things through the years that I've heard people say on days like today. And we're going to come around the altar in a few minutes and pray. And I'd really like to hear some of you testify about how this family has been a blessing to you before we close this service and go in the back and eat. But I wrote these things down. I heard a person in Kentucky at a pastor appreciation several years ago say about the pastor and his family, this is what they said: they have been a lifeline for me. Maybe you're here and you feel that way. I heard a mother who sits in the church that her son pastors on his pastor appreciation day. Here's what she stood up and said. She's the first one to testify. She said, "The Lord has honored me with them. God has honored me with them." Praise God. Amen. I heard one man say, "We have learned so much through the pastor and his teaching and his family. I know how much they care because I have felt their love." Praise God. Amen. Anybody felt the love of the Yeomans? I heard one woman jump up. She's big tears running down her face. She said, "They helped me get on my feet again." Praise God for the pastor. Amen. "They set an example for my family, for my children. They are holy people, even on the job." That's what one man said that worked in the same factory the pastor was working in. "They're holy people, even on the job." Boy, that says a lot, don't it? Amen. One person just simply stood up and said, "Brother Teague, I'd like to say I thank God for my pastor and his wife." Boy, that pretty much says it all, don't it? Thank God. That put her in the position of saying, "They're a gift from God to me. I thank God for my pastor and his wife." Brother Yeoman, we honor you here this morning. And we know that you could be anywhere else doing anything else if you circumvented the will of God Now, you know, I'm not a part of this congregation, but I'm the man with the microphone right now. If you'll allow me, I'd like to speak for the congregation. I hope I can do that and get by with it. I feel like there's some people here that's real glad that you've stayed as long as you have. And I feel like there's some folks here that's sure praying you're going to stay a whole lot longer. Amen. Keep doing what you're doing, man of God. Keep preaching the gospel to us. Keep giving us divine direction. Keep thundering holy truth from this pulpit. If it skins us, then call us to the altar so we can pray through. If you trim the limb out from under us, just give us a push so we can climb up a little bit higher. Praise God. Keep on helping us try to go to heaven. Praise God. Maybe you're here this morning, and we'll testify for a few minutes here, and we'll come gather in around the altar. Maybe you're here and this family's been a blessing to you. You'd just like to take this opportunity to stand up and just honor this man of God and his family. Maybe you've got a testimony, something, insight that they've given you, leadership they've given you, some way they've helped you. Or maybe you'd just like to stand up and thank God for this good pastor and his family. Who'll be the first in right here? Somebody testify. Yeah.
Appreciate my pastor. You was talking a while ago, and I was thinking about some of them that we've had to pass for a team.
Yeah.
I used to tell them that I had to move to get here, but I'm not going to have to leave. But they, some of them are the people that I have to put the furniture in.
All right.
But because we've had some of those that, you know, that.
Sure.
That just. He drawed her a paycheck. I felt like he just drawed a paycheck. He didn't help us none. But I appreciate him and his family.
Amen.
He's been a light. I was thinking our Sunday school lesson said, in my book it said, can you think of a person that's helped you to be a Christian? And, you know, everybody here has heard about my granddaddy. Baptist preacher. And he was my rock, brother. And he's, you know, I think back to his life when I was just 10 years old, brother, and he sat down with his Bible every morning.
All right.
Have his devotion before he started. And I look back to that, and him and my pastor, Brother Jim, and his family.
Amen. Amen.
And I hope some of these young men can look back to my pastor and say he's the one that helped me.
All right.
I appreciate him this morning.
Amen. Praise God. Somebody else testify. Praise God. Boy, it takes a lot for a daddy-in-law to say, I guarantee you. Appreciate you, Brother Morris. Thank God that's a good testimony. Somebody else? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Good testimony. Somebody else. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Somebody else. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Somebody else you want to testify?
Well,
All right. Man, I feel the Lord. I really do. Somebody else testify. They've been a blessing in your life and you'd like to tell it. Amen. Amen. Sister, do you want to testify? Amen. Praise God. Somebody else? Amen. Amen. Praise God. All right. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Somebody else? I'll say this and then we'll pray. There's no telling where God can take this local congregation if you'll just get behind and stay behind the pastor and push him. Just push him. He's got a vision, no doubt. He's got a vision. And the God has burdened his heart, laid things on his heart that God would like to see accomplished here. And no doubt, you know better than I do, I believe he's a praying man, a fasting man, man that studies the Word of God. And God has exalted him, not only in this local congregation, but in your movement, in your organization. God has exalted him, give him great favor all across the country. And if you get behind him, stay behind him, and just push, catch that vision that he's got, and just make it as easy for him as you can to accomplish what God's called him to do. There's no telling what God's liable to do right here. I believe God's got a plan, don't you? God's got a plan. Amen. I think most of the time, God's plans are a whole lot bigger than our plans. Praise God. If we can just get that, catch it. Hide it in our heart and help. Just find us a place to work and labor and to make it as easy for them as we can. No telling what the Lord will do. Anybody else?
impression on Stephen. You know, I know he liked to come and he liked to mess with the horses and all that, but he went to that camp meeting and they took time out to come and to help us to get him here and get him back home, you know, and he'd come home and he said, Mama, he said, you know, that man can preach, you know, and he made an impression. He said he wants to do things with me. There's a lot of churches that we go to where a lot of times the children are ignored. You know, they're not made a part. And Brother Yeoman, he done that. You know, Brother and Sister Yeoman done that. And I thank the Lord for that because traveling, you do see pastors that you're like, oh, my. And, you know, and then boys see that.
Sure.
It's so good whenever my boys can say, that's one that loves me. And I know if Stephen was here today, he would even say, I know Brother Yeoman loves me.
Amen.
He helped Stephen in a time Stephen needed help.
Amen.
And I thank the Lord for that.
Right.
And, you know, just like his other sister said, we know what it's like. I know what it's like to be a pastor's wife. You know, I honor Sister Yeoman, you know, because I know there's times that her husband comes home and says, boy, I flopped today. I still go through that with my husband. And, you know, there's times that Brother Yeoman's thinking, looks at his wife and says, oh, honey, I hope I made the right decision. And that wife is there, just leave them on, problem. You can make it, honey. You've done the right thing. You're praying, you're fasting, you're doing what you need from the Lord. You know, a lot of times people don't realize, you know, how much the wife is there for that man and how much that wife holds that man up. There's times that we see our husbands get down. There's times we see them get frustrated. But there's a prodding time the wife's got to do. Instead of showing them all the bad things and telling them all the negative things, we've got to always try to lift them up as well. But, you know, I honor, you know, her because I know by being there. And a lot of times she's the one that's got to take and hear more of the things that Brother Yeoman don't do right in people's eyes. A lot of times the pastor's wife gets to hear people talk about her husbands more than we want to. And a lot of times I know, Sister Yeoman don't go and tell her husband, I didn't tell you. And, you know, but God helps us.
Yeah.
I thank the Lord for all that he's doing for us. I thank him for Brother and Sister Yeoman. I thank him for standing together because it takes standing together.
Yeah.
And to help one another. When one gets down, the other one, just like all God always helps us. When one's down, the other one's usually up and more.
Amen.
And the other one can help the other one through. And that other one goes through that time. By that time, that other one's up. But I love the Lord, and I thank him for all that he's done for us. And I thank him for our pastor.
Praise the Lord. When she was a little girl here, y'all probably never thought, some of you probably never thought she'd be the pastor's wife one of these days. God's got a calling on them. Ain't you glad? Praise God. Somebody else? Do you want to testify? Anybody else? Praise the Lord. Stand with me, would you? Let's do it like this. Can we just have that Yeoman family to come? Just come, you and your wife and your children, if they're able to come. A lot of times the children are left out. Can I tell you about Brother Yeoman's children? Their children. They ain't going to be perfect. Yours ain't. Yours wasn't. Theirs ain't going to be either. They're going to be children. And sometimes the Yeomans will make decisions about their children you wouldn't have made about yours. But they got to raise theirs. Come on now. Now, God's got his hand. God called Brother Yeoman, put Sister Yeoman in this position. He didn't call the children. They're just along for the ride. Come on now. But God's going to help them. God's going to help them. Just like Brother Yeoman, Sister Teague said, went out of his way to be a blessing to my son. Why don't some of you get under burden, go out of your way to be a blessing to his children? Just be a blessing to them. Be good to them. Praise God. Everybody that will, if you're part of this church especially, if you attend this local church, come, let's gather up around this family. Let's anoint them, lay hands on them. We'll just end my part of this service like this.